Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
Good morning and welcome, my friends, to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, and I welcome you. And we invite you to write us and let us know that you're listening to this broadcast. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to do this broadcast, a lot of prayer, a lot of study, a lot of labor. Many props to Elder David Wise, who does the production of this broadcast. He works so hard toward it, and we would love to know that it's reaching someone. So we encourage you, go to clearspringspbc.com and let us know that you're listening. If you want to mail us via U.S. mail, you can mail it to me at 40022 Cotton Crest Drive, Hamilton, Mississippi, 39746. We invite you to come to our churches. We meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We also meet on the grounds of New Covenant Church in Starkville, Mississippi, 200 West Garrett Road, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening. If you want to join us via live stream, you can go to the Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, hit notifications, and it'll notify you when we live stream at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night and 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. Come and join us if you can, but please, we invite you. Reach out to us, send us an email, send us a letter, send us a card, even if it has criticisms, whatever the case may be, we want to know that you're listening. That's our focus this year, is seeing if we're reaching the sheep of God and the lambs of God out there and being of some nutritive, edifying value to them. So please give us some feedback on that. We implore you. And today we have a message called Sincere Milk. And we hope and pray that you'll stay around. And after this hymn, we'll be right back with today's message. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and I'm turned in my Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. For you today, I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Here, the Apostle Peter, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, makes comparison between milk, which certainly in this day was mother's milk. It was breast milk. It was the milk by which a baby fed. They didn't have Similac, so this was a breast milk allusion. And that comparison was made between the breast milk of the mother and the Word of God. We see this other places in the Word of God, just a couple. We see in the end of Hebrews chapter 5, alluded to by the inspired writer, whom I believe to be the Apostle Paul. He compared milk to the Word of God and strengthening and growing in the Word of God. And we know that Canaan's land in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the church of the Lord, of the kingdom of the Lord. And what does it flow with? Milk and honey. Milk and honey. So oftentimes in the Word of God, we see milk being used to compare to the Word of God, and that it's nutritive and it's good. And we need to be very careful that we take this seriously. So if the Holy Spirit is teaching us about the Word of God using milk, then we need to look at the qualities of the mother's milk and consider this just a little bit. Now, notice he said the sincere milk of the Word. That word sincere in the Greek basically means pure and unadulterated. In other words, he's saying you need to be sure this is what you're feeding on and that you get rid of all dirt and pollutions and things of corruption that could hinder you. And that's why he said, "Wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings." You know, whenever my wife was ready to nurse one of our children, she had some things she had to get out of the way. One thing she had to get out of the way of the busyness and the loudness of the public. She had to disrobe. She had to make sure that she was clean and ready for the baby to latch on. And that's what he's saying. There's a lot of things we need to put away for us to really be able to take advantage of the sincere, the pure, unadulterated milk of the Word. He said that ye may grow thereby. So let's look at some of these properties of the mother's breast milk and what it does for the child. And friends, as you're listening today, one who needs the Word of God, one who is craving to know more about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, realize you're that baby. You are that baby. And Jesus alludes to us as his children, alludes to us as little children, that we are to receive the kingdom as little children. And what about little babies? They're totally dependent upon their parents, totally dependent upon their forebears. And we are, as the children of God, totally dependent upon our Lord. So with that in mind, we really study what this allusion to milk as the Word of God really holds in it, within it. Now, first, we know that the mother's milk hydrates the baby. It gives water, very needed water in the breast milk. And water is the most basic element of life. So certainly, if we look at the mother's milk and how it hydrates the child, certainly we can see that in some respect here, he's saying that the Word of God is a basic element of your life. It's a rudimentary thing. It's a thing that you absolutely must have. And we are 75% water in the human body. And without it, we can't live. And you let that level get just a little bit low and you'll be weak as a cat and you won't be able to move. So this water is the most basic element of life. It hydrates us. It gives us form. It gives us strength. It gives us what we need for circulation and things of that nature. Well, Jesus alluded to the water of the Word of God in John chapter 4. Here was he was speaking with the Samaritan woman at a well of water. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." There they were sitting at a well that was Jacob's well. It had been dug by Jacob of old, and it was an antique well, and it was very special to these people that Jacob, this is one of the ones that he dug. Now, Jacob is representative of the law that was given in the Old Testament. And here she's alluding to this as water, and Jesus is pointing to this as a water that represents something. These waters to her would represent the clinging to the forefathers, clinging to the law and the work system. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Here he said this water is living, and it comes from within, and it springs up. Now here he's not telling her that she needs to be born again, but he is telling her that she needs to feel the gushing and the moving of the waters that are within her. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither." Now, notice this was not an offer of accepting Christ so that she could go to heaven. No, because Jesus didn't say, "Well, all you need to do is fall down, accept me into your heart, and I'll be your Savior." No, this gushing, this moving of the waters within her that were already within her, she would feel rise and move and be active if what? If she obeyed. If she just followed what the Word of God taught her. Because he said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Here he's pointing at some a point of her life, a big aspect of her life, where she is disobedient to the expressed will and Word of God. The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." And then down in verse 24, he says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, she already had, I certainly believe, evidence of the Holy Spirit within her, but she needed to be walking in truth. And you cannot thumb your nose at the truth of God by living like the devil, living in a worldly, carnal way, which is what she was doing. And here Jesus is telling her, repent of that, and you embrace the Word of God and my ways, and you will certainly feel that well spring of water move within you in a powerful way. It hydrates us. It invigorates us. Now, what else this mother's milk does for us, the Word of God does for us, it nourishes us. That's what mother's milk does for the baby. In Jeremiah 15:16, we read this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Now, why was it the joy and rejoicing of his heart? He said, "For," or "because, I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." See, since God had brought him into his family, given him the spirit of adoption, and made him his, therefore, he found great joy. He found great comfort, great nourishment in the Word of God. He said, "I did eat them," the words of God. Now, he literally didn't, I don't believe, ate papyrus or ate vellum or whatever the case may be, or stone that the Word of God was written upon. But he said, "I just gobbled them up. They were what I needed inside of me." And he said the result of that was joy and rejoicing of his heart. It was good for his heart. In Job 23:12, Job said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth." What's that? The Word of God. "More than my necessary food." It is an often used quote, and I fully agree with it. Fill your mind with God's word, and you'll have no room for Satan's lies. Satan would fill you full of confusion and the trash and chemicals and corruptions of this world. But if we fill our mind with God's word, we'll find that we'll have less and less room for Satan to get a foothold. Yes, it nourishes us. Another thing the Word of God does, just as mother's milk, it inoculates us. It bolsters us against infection and weakness and maladies. Yes, babies receive antibodies from the breast milk of the mama. And these antibodies are essential for building their immune system and protecting them against infections. antibodies, like primarily something called secretory immunoglobulin A, are produced by the mother and passed on to the baby during nursing. And it's on her environmental exposure. It's passed through the milk, and it protects the baby's gut and respiratory tract. Yes, the mother's milk is like a medicine. Well, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul exhorts Timothy, said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word," the words that are not the word of God, notice, "their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Here we had some Christians who were very sick. It's like they had a cancer that was sucking the energy and the vitality and the hope and the faith from them and their experience. Why? Because they were following in error and not embracing the word of God and its truth, not seeking, what does this mean? How does it apply to my life? And when you're bolstered in that, you are protected against the wiles of Satan and the carnality and the evils and corruptions of this world. Later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he told Timothy to preach the word. Preach that mother's milk. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That means you need to always be ready, okay, to give a defense of the word of God and to share the word of God. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So to reprove is to correct. To rebuke is to knock down. To exhort with all long suffering and doctrine means to get them back up. Long suffering and doctrine. Oh, my friends, why has doctrine become a dirty word? That's the wiles of Satan. Doctrine is precious to the Lord. It should be precious to the church, just as the breast milk is precious to the child. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." How sick we become when we fail to feed upon the word of God. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, said, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Think about that, friends. Our Bibles, are they just dust collectors, or is it something that we pour through continually? Do we make it a daily habit, more important than any multivitamin or chemotherapy that could ever be had and found in this world, is the Word of God. Oh, Lord, help us, that those listening to my voice today, and myself included, help us, Lord, to wear our Bibles out with studying them, consuming them with study and meditation and adoration. Yes, Lord, thank you. You know, something else the sincere milk of mother does for the baby, it soothes that baby. Oh, the taste, the joy, the comfort that comes from that milk, it satiates it. It soothes the child. I think this alludes to in Psalm 19, where we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect." What's the law of the Lord? It's the word of God, converting the soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure." What's the testimony of the Lord? The word of God, making wise the simple. Verse 8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Here, time after time, in each clause, in each phrase of that passage we just read, he's alluding to the word of God. And it's all of these things to us, child of God. Don't be afraid of it. Oh, approach it with a reverential fear, but don't be afraid of it. No, embrace it. And you may be saying, "But there's so much about it I don't understand. It makes me feel dumb. It makes me feel spiritually small." No, kindred in Christ, look, there's far more of that Bible you'll be able to understand than not understand. You pray for guidance, and the Lord will reveal it unto you. Go to church and listen to a good, sound gospel preacher, and they'll explain it to you. Now, if you're going to a church house where they just spend 15 minutes telling you some kind of cotton candy something, and they spend more time on church bulletins and begging for money and talking about the next Disney trip, then you need to find a good, sound gospel church. I invite you to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church or Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church. But find you a church that teaches the Bible in spirit and in truth and receive that, okay? Now, after he said all those things about the Word of God, then in verse 10 he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. See, it not only tastes good, it's absolutely necessary. Again, in Psalms 131, David wrote, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, a weaned child is what? It's separated from the comfort of the mother's milk. Okay? So how is he going to comfort himself? He comforts himself in the Lord. Comforts himself in the Lord. Now, friends, this is not saying that we need to separate ourselves from the Word of God. This means we need to embrace it all the more. Because these words of God, according to Psalm 33, are the thoughts of his heart to every generation. It's a love letter for us. It's what we need. It's the instructions that we need to stay safe and sound in Jesus Christ. And he said, when you feel like a weaned child, when you feel discouraged, when you feel frustrated, when you feel anxious, he said, oh, just wean this weaned child feeling all this anxiety. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Child of God, go to your word. Read the words of Jesus. Read about his gracious and humble life. Read about the miracles he did. Read about the power that he wields. Read about how he is endless days. Read about this Savior. And in desiring to read about him, take comfort to know that you're his child and that that word is for you. So again, that raises the question, what does it mean if you crave the Word of God? What does it mean if you crave it? Here he's talking about a baby desiring the sincere milk of the Word. You as a Christian desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Does everyone desire the Word of God? No, there are many out there that hate and despise it. But if you're listening today and you're intrigued and you're compelled, you feel compelled in your inner man, in your spirit, that I crave the Word of God. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to be closer to him through his Word. Remember this, friends, that babies hunger for the milk of mama because their inborn nature compels them to it. Okay? This is the only way that a baby desires the milk of mama. And in like manner, friends, if you desire the sincere milk of the Word, that's been born in you. Now, it wasn't innate in you, in your original nature, the way you were conceived in your mother's womb. But at some point in time, the Lord's Spirit came down and made you alive, gave you the spirit of adoption, brought you into the family, made you alive in Christ. And now, friends, that's the only way that one can taste that the Lord is gracious. He said, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you desire this word, then you've tasted how gracious the Lord is because he has worked that sense within you. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, said they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Strong language, because they are spiritually discerned. John 5:24, what does it mean? If you believe the words of God, oh, I may be abjectly ignorant in them, but boy, what I do know, I embrace and I want to know more about it. Is that your case today? Listening friends, and listen to what Jesus said in John 5:24. Verily, verily, that means truthfully, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That means it's already in possession of it. Oh, I'm afraid if I don't read my Bible close enough, I won't get born again or I won't stay saved. Balderdash. My friends, if you desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, then it means you already have and possess everlasting life. The Lord has worked it in you. Now you need to learn more about it. Embrace it. Grow in it. Be strong in it. He says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed already from death unto life. Isn't that good news today, listening friend? And then in Galatians 4:6, notice what he said. How does this sense, this taste, this sense of the goodness of God, how has it worked in you? How do you get this sense? Well, in Galatians 4:6, he says, and because ye are sons. God has always known his family. He predestined them in Jesus Christ before the world began. He's already named them with a name. Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How do you know that you are a living child of the King? Because you cry after him. You cry. You weep about the sinfulness in your mortal frame. You are in anguish over the confusion and the evil in this world that surrounds you. And you cry out, oh God, oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, reveal unto me. Oh God, I feel so lost. I feel so full of sin. I feel so in need. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Show me how I may be saved. Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, if you're crying that prayer, it means you're already saved for heaven. There's a whole lot of salvations you can enjoy while you live here on this earth. And one of the greatest salvations is reading the Word of God, becoming intimately involved in it, learning it, incorporating it into your life. Oh, it's a lifelong labor. Don't think it's like pulling up to Burger King and having it your way. I mean, it's going to be a labor of love, but oh, the love that's in it. It's amazing. And I encourage you, little hungry child of grace, feed upon the Word of God. We invite you to come and learn the Word of God together with us at Sulphur Springs every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Clear Springs, same time every Sunday morning. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. at New Covenant Church at 200 West Garrett Road, where we meet every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Come and learn together with us. Let us feed together on the Word of God and grow thereby. Until we're able to speak with you again on such wonderful subjects, I pray the Lord be especially gracious and merciful to you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful.